irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Get Yourself the Job with Jennifer Hill, only on LA Talk Radio.
Well, happy Monday, everybody, and thank you so much for tuning in to Get Yourself the Job with Jennifer Hill. Today, we have David Essel with us. David Essel is a number one best-selling author, counselor, master life coach, and international speaker whose mission is to positively affect 1 million people or more every day, regardless of their current circumstances. Celebrity Jenny McCarthy says, David Essel is the new leader of the positive thinking movement. David's work is also highly endorsed by the late Wayne Dyer, Chicken Soups for the Soul's Mark Victor Hansen, as well as many other celebrities and radio and television networks from around the United States of America. His work can be seen at www.talkdavid.com. Thank you so much for joining us today, David.
Jennifer, I am ready to rock with you out in Los Angeles, my love.
I am so ready for this because when you and I did the pre-show check-in call, where I love to kind of get to know my guests a little bit before the show, I started reading about your press release and about how you started this whole idea by wanting to debunk The Secret and, you know, the laws of success that The Secret purports. And I have to say, you know, I am a law of attraction sort of a girl. So I'm very excited to hear what you have to say today about how you're debunking the whole positive thinking movement and what your thoughts are. How on earth did you even come to study this topic?
I know, it's such a trip, Jennifer. You know, I started 37 years ago in the world of personal growth. I just turned 40. So I started really young. I 37 years ago, I was one of those people way before The Secret obviously came out that was, you know, traveling the world as a motivational speaker saying, whatever you believe you can achieve and, you know, you put good thoughts in your head and good things must come to you and all the things that became The Secret, you know, and the law of attraction and all that. And then for the first 16 years from 1980 to 1996, Jennifer, if someone would have said to me that you would write a book that's going to debunk the myth of positive thinking, in those first 16 years, I would have went after them, you know, if not with a gun, definitely with a sickle.
Oh my goodness.
I know, blood, right? It's like I would have taken someone down. And then I had the most incredible experience ever happen in 1996 that proved that what we think is no relation to what we attract at the level people say. And it happened with an interview with the founder of Transcendental Meditation. And I'm sure you and all of your listeners know who I'm talking about. He's no longer with us, but his name was Maharishi Mahesh Yogi. And Maharishi chose our radio show as the only media outlet in 1996 to celebrate the 40th anniversary of TM, or Transcendental Meditation. And Jennifer, we flipped out. I mean, when he chose our show, and now I had been trained in TM in 1988, so by 1996, you know, I was a huge proponent of it. And I'm sure that's one of the reasons they chose us. But we had at that time 275 cities syndicated, you know, just this massive, massive following. And he's on the show. And through this series of events, he was saying to me that my affirmations, now I'm going to tell you what the affirmation was, my affirmations were not only not bringing into my life what I wanted, but he basically called me out. And I tell the full story in our book, Positive Thinking Will Never Change Your Life, the number one bestseller. I tell the full story. But in a nutshell, Jennifer, he said, you have no joy. And, you know, when you're called out in that type of a way, I don't care who it is, someone you love, respect, or whatever. Actually, it was one of his assistants who after the interview flew to Florida and said, hey, Maharishi wants you to know something that's really important for your growth. And you may not understand it today when I talk to you, but you will down the road. You have no joy. your affirmations are not bringing joy into your life. I looked at her and thought she was insane. And, you know, and basically I said, I would love to kill the messenger. I still love Maharishi. I don't love you. You know, that was basically what I said to her. But listen, here's the most amazing thing that happened is that a couple weeks after she left, 1996, a Tuesday afternoon, I remember it like it was yesterday, 2:30 in the afternoon, I came out of another four-day binge of alcohol and cocaine addiction.
Oh, wow.
You know, I'm traveling the world. I'm writing books. I'm making a lot of money. I have a national syndicated show. I'm in the world of personal growth, totally devoted to it, and I was a raging alcoholic and addict.
Oh, my gosh.
And that's not unusual. You know, if you know anything about Wayne Dyer's background, he was a cocaine addict. Deepak was a two-pack-a-day smoker when he was a doctor in the hospitals in Boston. I mean, a lot of us in the world of personal growth have some serious addiction issues. So this was like this, you know, I looked in the mirror. It's Tuesday. It's 2:30 in the afternoon. And I go, oh, my God. I have no joy. Now, to back up for a minute, how we got there with affirmations and supposedly the power of the mind and all that stuff is that for 20 years, Jennifer, I woke up every day and I had this powerful affirmation that I would say, I am David Essel, a child of God, happy, healthy, and sober today.
Oh, my God.
Every night every night I would drink myself to sleep, but every morning when I got up, the illusion that the affirmation gave me made me feel powerful. And that's my concern. You know, like I woke up in 1996 to realize that, you know, and can you think today about the number of people, you know, that read these well-meaning books like The Secret and the Law of Attraction that say I'm a millionaire. And they're making 20, 30, 40, 50, 100,000 a year. But they're saying these things. And in the act of saying what you are not, you are lying to yourself.
Well, now, this is going to be an interesting conversation, though, because I will tell you from personal experience, you know, I've actually utilized different affirmations and I've taught different people how to make exactly however much money they've wanted to make by doing what I call a statement of intent and daily declaration. And at no point when I said I was going to make $250,000 when I was 25 years old, and that was my affirmation every morning, there was no basis for that. The highest amount I had ever made in my career was $150,000 up to that point. And then that year I made $271,000. So this is going to be an interesting conversation because I want to get your two cents on, is there a place for affirmations, even though, if I'm hearing you correctly, what I think you might be saying is that some people abuse the idea of a declaration or an affirmation rather than actually doing the actions necessary to create that affirmation into a reality. Would that be accurate?
Yeah. And in the book, we say that your affirmations and your mind thought, unless it's a miracle, will only account for 20% of your success. 80% of your success will come from you doing what those people who make $1 million a year do, what those people who lose 250 pounds and keep it off will do, what those people, in other words, you know, in interviewing Wayne Dyer and Susie Guy, I put a great story in the book about Susie Orman. We have a great story in the book about Joe Vitale, one of the stars of The Secret. And, you know, like let me give some statistics out, Jennifer, to prove how illogical these teachings are. 18 years ago, the percentage of people in the United States that earned $250,000 a year or more, because The Secret and the Law of Attraction are so heavily based on money, the percentage of people that earned that amount of money, $250,000 or more, was 4%.
Okay.
18 years later, the percentage of people who earn $250,000 or more is still 4%. So if it was that easy to rattle off affirmations to attract that amount of money, we should have seen, since The Secret came out in 2006, we should have seen a dramatic increase, but it has flatlined. There has been no increase.
But
can I ask
you something about that? So my theory would be it's a generational thing because I'm one of the cuspers. I'm on the cusp of being a millennial. I'm 36. And so some people lump me into the millennial group and some people say, well, you're not quite there. You're that kind of weird in-between generation. But my theory would be that I think so much of this positive thinking stuff that we're talking about, people think that that's all there is. It's just sitting on your butt on a couch and visualizing or having a vision board and not actually having the action match the intention, which is perhaps what you're talking about, because I would purport that perhaps the reason we haven't seen an increase is because the generation that's coming up has a sense of entitlement without having to take the action to match the intention, which might be why there's a flat line. And that's just a personal theory that came up.
Well, but that still wouldn't account for the 70% of people that aren't millennials as to why that population didn't see an increase in $250,000 income or more.
Touche. Touche.
You know, and that's my valid concern, you know, that and let me go back to the theory that we propose and we prove in the book. It's not just a proposition. You know, we have 6 New York Times bestselling authors, Jennifer. When I sent out the brief outline with an email to 6 people who are rock stars, multi-million booksellers, they all responded within 24 hours saying, oh, my God, thank you. Someone is actually going to write a book about the reality of success. And that's what we did. And so we say that 80% of your work to lose the weight, make the money, find deep love will be via your daily action steps. But it's not just action steps. And you know this. It's action steps in the beginning that are challenging, scary, that we would rather not do. You know, getting sober is a really hard thing to do, whether you're a food addict, a nicotine addict, a sex addict, an alcoholic, a drug addict, a spending addict. It is one of the greatest challenges in life. 90% of, you know, opiate addiction is the number one pharmacological addiction in the world today. 90% of people who say they're ready to get clean from opiate addiction today, 90% will not make it 12 months. 90% of people who struggle with alcohol today will not be clean in 12 months. That means we have a 10% success rate. And I'm one of those people that love getting up in the morning and saying, I'm a child of God and sober. And it gave me the illusion. But in the book, we have over 100 stories, Jennifer, of people that said, okay, look, it, I'm not going to throw out the positive thinking, because I still spend an hour a day, meditation, prayer, journaling, gratitude. I love this stuff.
Okay, we're on the same page.
but the reason that I've accomplished what I've accomplished, that is only 20%. You know, the rest of it is because I choose to get uncomfortable every day. Now, the cool thing is that once you get uncomfortable long enough, and in our book, we believe it's 365 days to change a habit, not 21 days. If you're willing to do what you'd rather not for 365 days, you can own the world. You can earn huge amounts of money. You can lose. Oh, God, I've got weight loss stories in the book that just bring tears to my eyes when I read them. If you're willing to do what's uncomfortable. But see, you know, even Joe Vitale from The Secret, when I interviewed him on my radio show, I was teasing him and I go, hey, Joe, in the book, this is amazing. You were homeless and you went to a millionaire and you did it by imagining money coming to you. You've got to tell me how you did that. And he was laughing. And he said, well, you know, David, they left out actually what happened. And I said, oh, you're kidding me. Joe, tell me. No, we were teasing back and forth. And he said, well, I was homeless. And I did have a positive attitude about achieving money, but I also worked 7 days a week, 12 hours a day for a number of years to become a millionaire. Now, why wouldn't they put that in the book? Well, I can tell you why. It's not a sales tool. You know, there's nothing that, I mean, and even the guy, John, what's his name, that put the picture of the $1 million house in storage for 5 years?
Oh, yeah.
Proving, proving the power of vision boards. Well, if he did that, Jennifer, if he put a picture of a house that he wanted to buy and he put it into storage and he didn't do anything different for 5 years and he winds up buying it, either he had a silver spoon and money was given to him or it was a miracle. They don't tell us in the book or the movie, but my guess is he worked his ass off in order to have the money that he didn't have when he put the picture on the vision board in storage. And so our book is really just about reality. And, we have people that were, Ray Higdon, we talk about money. A great story about a guy named Ray Higdon, who in 2007 came to me when we had the huge real estate crash. He was a single dad, two little kids. He was losing his home, getting kicked out of foreclosure, had invested heavily in real estate, lost it all. And he came to me and said, I am so scared, David, can you help me? And so I worked with him for 1 hour and he had no money at all. And at the end of the hour, I said, Ray, I swear, this is what I'm going to tell you to do. You are so dynamic. Even in your fear, I can see how dynamic you are. Find something to sell. Sell your butt off. You will never look back. But you can't, in this depressed state, allow your depression to get you to sit in your home that's being taken away and worry. You have to work through that. So he left, and he was somewhat excited, Jennifer, not really excited about what I told him. He was somewhat excited. On the way home, he bought The Secret. And for the next 30 days, he did his affirmations, and he put up his vision boards. And at the end of 30 days, and he writes his story in the book, he was in worse shape than ever. And then someone told him about a sales technique where that if he found something to sell and he went after 20 rejections a day, 5 days a week for 6 months, that he would be unstoppable. He didn't know what to sell, Jennifer, so he got into network marketing. He found a product that he thought he liked enough to try to sell, and he decided to do what he didn't want to do. And if anyone in your listening audience is in sales, you know how hard it is to go after 20 rejections a day. Like, he wouldn't stop calling until he had 20 people tell him to go jump off the roof. So you want to talk about, and this is the tenacity, and the same with weight loss, and the same with sobriety, and the same with any, this is the model of success. And a year later, he was at $50,000 a month, and he earns over $100,000 a month now. And his complete story is in the book. And the cool thing that, when I reached out to, all these extremely successful people and asked them if they wanted to be in the book, and the stories I told about, interviewing Mark Victor Hansen and Wayne Dyer a billion times and all these other people, is that I didn't want people, Jennifer, to sit back and to say, oh, David Essel just has a bone to pick with, these popular books. And it wasn't, because I love positive thinking. But what I realized is that these books are tapping into something that we described in 1996 as human nature. And human nature, which runs the human being system from the inside out, is our desire to get the most out of life with minimal effort. That's really what we're up against. And that's the reason why lottery tickets sell, especially to people that have no money that are buying lottery tickets. Infomercials, Suzanne Summers, look like Suzanne Summers with a thigh master. Well, listen, I love Suzanne Summers, and I think she's hot as hell. And I think she's got a great body, and all the models in the infomercials had great bodies. But does that really work? And that's where these marketers will tap in to something that people want with minimal effort, and then they're off to the races. And our book says, let's just stop the insanity. Let's look at 100+ people that have found great success, and let's figure out one thing, and it's a very simple formula. Let's do what all these people do. And people who aren't big name famous that we add in the book too, there's tons of stories of people that you'll never hear about again who follow this model, Jennifer. And they still had their positive affirmations in the morning. But then, as they say, they put their work boots on and they didn't look back.
Okay, so I think I can agree with you on that part. What I'm hearing you say is that you are a huge proponent and advocate of doing the work, of doing the things that push you outside of your comfort zone, that challenge you to go beyond what you're used to doing in your day-to-day to achieve goals, be it weight loss, sobriety, or money. But in addition, there's still a space for positive thinking and affirmation as long as that's not all you're doing. Would you say that's what you're saying?
Oh, Jennifer, you nailed it. You know, if you put 20% of effort into the mind activities, affirmation, visualization, gratitude journaling, prayer, meditation, if you put 20% effort on a daily basis into that and then let it go, don't worry about it. Don't try to think positively all day long. Just do it first thing in the morning and let it go. Then if you really want success, go and model people. Do things that'll scare the hell out of you. Do things you don't want to do. You know, my good friend Evelyn Keeling, this is a story that's just mind-boggling. She lost 240 pounds.
Oh, my goodness.
Now, can you imagine? That's like two people, right? She is such a dynamo that she lost 240 pounds. Now, do you think, I know you love positive thinking, but do you believe that she did it via affirmation and vision board? Just give me
I do not think that you can sit there. I think you have to put down the, you know, Twinkies and the Snickers, and you have to completely change your diet, because one of my very dear friends, Pam, did the same thing, and it was amazing and astounding to see her lose and keep off 130 pounds, and she'll tell you she just changed what she did, and it was hard. You know, she went from eating chips and candy bars and drinking soda every day to doing a 180-degree flip and cooking all of her own food, which is what you need to do if you want to lose weight, from what I understand.
Absolutely, Jennifer. And, you know, and it's the stuff that we don't want to do. You know, we want to come home. We want to numb out. Sugar, salt, white flour, and fat are drugs. When you're anxious, when you're bored, when you're, whatever, you know, angry, resentful, shameful, guilt, food is the next benzos. Food is the opiate. Food is the alcohol. And 70% of Americans are either overweight or obese. Why is that? A God's honest truth, it's because we're lazy as can be. We don't want to do the work. You know, that's really the truth. It's the truth. And according to University of Florida study, only 6% of people who are obese have a genetic link.
Wow, I had never heard that before.
Yeah, that means 94% of people who are overweight or obese have no genetic excuse. And Evelyn was in there. Now, if you saw a picture, and for people that are listening, go to Facebook and Google Evelyn Keeling, K-E-I-L-I-N-G. She is my rock star. She is just an amazing human being. There's pictures of her in a wheelchair, 240 pounds heavier. Now, let me just sort of paint this story. She was wheeled into a gym to walk on a treadmill for 3 or 4 minutes, wheeled out of the gym. if you want to talk about being humble and vulnerable, can you imagine, Jennifer, if you weighed 240 pounds more than you did and they wheeled you into a gym to exercise?
I can't even fathom that. That's just unbelievable.
It is. And here's the greatest news in the world. Her story doesn't end. She didn't do this until she was in her late 40s. At 54, she walked on stage in Las Vegas in front of 15,000 screaming fans as she became a bodybuilder.
Oh, wow. That's incredible.
Yeah. Jennifer, and these are the stories in our book that say to people, listen, David Hessel, I want to say I'm sorry. This book gives me a chance to make amends for all the years I was traveling and sharing information that I was a parrot. I was looking at my gurus that were stating all this stuff about the power of the mind. I'm out there regurgitating it until someone placed the mirror in front of me and said, quit talking your smack. What you're saying isn't working in your life. Why are you telling other people it does? That was the wake up in 1996. And then the compilation of 37 years says, I have such a determination, Jennifer, and I so appreciate you bringing this message onto your show. I have such a determination for people who are lost, who are hopeless, who are frustrated, who are struggling financially with addiction, with their weight, with love, to say there is a way. Positive thinking will be a tiny percentage of your success if you're willing to follow the same stories that everyone in our book does. You can have what they have. But let's stop the nonsense at thinking that you're going to attract the perfect body, the money, without you doing very much work. And, you know, on Facebook, and we do a lot of work in social media, my staff, God, every other day will copy and paste and email me, you know, another statement that is just so disheartening to read in 2017. You know, effortlessly become, this was from Saturday, effortlessly become a millionaire by using your mind. Don't worry about the work. Use your mind effectively. You know, and this is 2017, Jennifer. This isn't like, you know, it's 1917. And so I appreciate the fact that you're so open-minded, as much as you love the world of positive thinking, and it has worked. And some people, via miracles, it will work. You know, there's some people that will attract, have an affirmation, say it for a couple of weeks, and then from out of the blue, someone will offer them a job with more money than they could ever imagine. And that can happen. And we even say in the book, hold the door open for miracles. You know, I'm a former minister. I was a pastor of a church. We used to talk miracles all the time. But even in the Bible, it says faith without work is worthless.
And, I think it's and a so great message.
Say, yeah, I'm sorry. Go ahead, honey.
No, it's okay. I interrupted you. I was saying, I think it's a great message that people need to hear is faith without work. Say that again. I like that quote you just said.
Oh, yeah. Faith without work is worthless.
Yes.
You know, and unless it's a miracle. And I always throw that in every radio and TV interview. I always have to say, now, there could be a miracle. So, you know, but don't count on it. You know, like, if a miracle comes, wrap your arm around it, run to the moon with it, but don't count on it. You know, and you know how you're familiar with the place in France called Lourdes, where all these miracles happen of healing?
Yes, correct.
Right? And so people will travel from all over the world in wheelchairs. They'll be brought in on stretchers. But listen to this. They spent maybe their last pennies. They traveled from across the globe. They went through treacherous times of travel to get there. They actually worked. If the miracle happens, they had to actually work to get there. Hmm. Isn't that interesting?
Yeah, I wouldn't have thought of that perspective, because I think that it does. You and I are just looking at two sides of the same coin. And the question I have in my mind is, do you think that somebody could go out and achieve 250 pounds of weight loss or financial freedom or sobriety, lasting sobriety, without any positive thinking? Do you think that they're mutually exclusive, or is there some sort of correlation between the two that necessitates the outcome?
Oh, that is a brilliant question, Jennifer. That is a brilliant question. And the answer is, someone can become a millionaire without one positive thought in their body. Someone could lose 240 pounds without ever believing they could. Absolutely. And, you know, and I work in addiction recovery. You know, for 24 years now, I've been teaching a holistic addiction recovery course. And most people, when they're a food addict, a sex addict, a nicotine addict, a alcohol or drug, most of them don't come to me, Jennifer, with, oh my God, I am so excited to get sober.
I can imagine.
You know, right? Like, their family drags them in, their husband, their wife, their mom, their dad. They're coming in kicking and screaming. They are not happy campers. And this is what I say to all of them. You do not have to have the drive to get clean. All you have to do is surrender to the work. And if you surrender to the work, I don't care how crappy your attitude is. You can come in and bitch to me on Skype every day. You can complain, you can moan, you can groan. But if you do the work, you're going to be sober. And so there is some confusion in my own industry, in the industry that you're in the world of personal growth, that you have to have a great attitude. It really helps. Oh my God. If someone says, well, you know, can I work with you? And should I have a crappy attitude or a hopeful one? I'll go, please.
Go hopeful.
If you're gonna make a, yeah, please go hopeful, right? Please, if you're going to make a choice. But there's a lot of people that don't think they can get to a better place because they have a negative mindset. And I just say the same thing to all of them. As a matter of fact, today on the phone, you know, I work with people from all over the world. I have a client in Canada that are struggling with being overweight. And this woman, one of the women, the last couple weeks, she went totally AWOL, went way off her program. And she called today and she said, I am hopeless. I haven't done what you've asked. I'm afraid you're going to kick me out of the program. Mm. And I said, will you commit starting in this very minute? Recommit to our agreement? And she said, yes. I said, you will never be kicked out if you keep recommitting. Because I don't know a lot of people, Jennifer, on their first go-round to make $200,000 a year, or their first go round to lose 200 pounds, or their first attempt to make whatever they're trying to achieve. I don't know too many people that get it. I know a lot of people, including myself, that it's taken 5, 6, 10, 15 attempts to make the money, lose the weight, get clean, find deep love. I don't know too many people that get it just because they make up their mind they want it.
I have to tell you, I mean, I will give you a counter story, though, because here's, and again, this is why I love having a guest like you on the show with a differing perspective from my own. I had suffered from bulimia. I was just like what you were describing, probably between the ages of about 15 to my early 20s, where drugs, alcohol, bulimia, our cheerleading coach had taught me how to become bulimic. And just like you had that wake up moment with Maharishi, is for me, it came when I was doing a personal development program and it was totally inauthentic. You know, here I'd had all these breakthroughs and was pretending my life was great. And yet I was still drinking regularly and, you know, recreationally using drugs as well as being bulimic. And in one moment, and I don't know if I'm perhaps just the exception to the rule, I was doing a program and I looked at what was missing that would make a difference in my life in that moment that would give me access to never again needing drugs, alcohol, or, you know, bulimia at that time. And it was discipline. And I created as a way of being disciplined. And in that moment, David, here's what happened for me personally. I created being disciplined. I declared it. I came clean to everybody in my life with what was going on. And in that moment, I never was bulimic again. I drink wine here and there socially, but definitely not to the extent where when I was in my 16, 20s, you know, et cetera. And so I think that's why I've been such a huge advocate of positive thinking and books like The Secret or Law of Attraction, because I don't want to discount the possibility. Like you're saying, maybe it was a miracle, but I want people to know it could happen, although more than likely you might have to go through 12 months of a 12-step program or whatever it might look like. So that's why I'm personally such an advocate of positive thinking.
Oh, Jennifer, it can happen, but it's extremely rare. And that's why I say to people, don't discount a miracle. Don't discount that the first time you try something, you're successful as you were. But that's outrageously rare. That's not normal. And I don't know if anyone's ever told you that it's not normal in a good way, but I'm calling you abnormal in a good way.
Okay. I guess I will take it. Yes, I've been called worse. So, but that's why I'm a fan of it. And so I think what you're saying, though, I think it is dangerous. And perhaps it's even been in some ways dangerous of me to share that. Like, rah, rah, you can do this. And yet I have a really, really dear friend going back into rehab for a third time because of opium and heroin addiction. And so it kind of discounts, I think, when you take somebody like me saying, oh, la, 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 look how easy it is. You say one affirmation or declaration and then voila, life is miraculous. That could actually harm other people, because then if they don't achieve the same thing in the same way, it can have a big backlash on their own self-esteem and self-confidence because it didn't happen that way for them. Does that make sense?
Yeah, Jennifer, you're 100% accurate. And that's my concern with, you know, The Secrets and the Law of Attractions and that, is that when someone goes through those programs and they read the book or watch the DVD and they watched Joe Vitale go from homeless to millionaire, and they're assuming he did it because he imagined checks coming in the mail. And it doesn't happen for them, is that they go, wow, I'm more of a loser than I thought.
Yep.
Because the assumption is that everyone in the world is losing weight, attracting the love of their lives, and making millions of dollars via their thoughts. When you are blessed, and I'm so happy to hear of your experience, and there are other people that have had very similar experiences to you, the majority of people haven't. And, you know, you and I have a mutual friend, Mark Victor Hansen.
Yep.
And I remember in 1991, the very first time I met Mark and had him on my radio show, and he told me the story of chicken soup for the soul. For people that I'm sure most of your listening audiences know, 140 rejections from publishers. Let me repeat that. 140 publishers said, are you crazy? A stupid book with a bunch of cute stories and a ridiculous title, you know, like they put up their homes, they remortgage, refinance their homes to have money to pursue their dreams. They had 40 literary agents dump them. We're talking, these guys put the pedal to the metal and they would not stop. And that's the way most of us become really successful in life. It's you face adversity and you keep walking forward. You lean on faith and hope and thought. You lean on it to try to generate one more day of hard work and you'll break through. Kentucky Fried Chicken, Colonel Sanders. I think he made his first $1 million at 70. And he was a guy that attempted suicide. I mean, he was an absolute mess most of his life. And then he became a billionaire at 78. I mean, ridiculous, right? Just like incredible. But he worked to try to make money from when he was 20, and he never really made it until he hit 70. Now, most of us, Jennifer, look at that as, well, I'm not going to wait that long. As a matter of fact, last year, 6 months ago, I posted on Facebook and I said, if you could have all the money you want, lose all the work you need to lose, and have the most unbelievable love relationship, but it would take 10 more years of incredibly hard, dedicated work to get all the money you want, lose all the weight, or find that deep love, would you do it? And you know what's so sad?
What?
Is that most people said no.
And that's, you know what that's the point one? Right there. That's the point of all of this.
Exactly.
Nobody's willing to do the work to get the money to be happy and to have the success.
You know, and that's it. And so, you know, I thought for sure, I'm not kidding you. Now, this is where my optimism, Jennifer, gets me in the way. And this is where you and I are identical, I'm sure. I was so optimistic that people would say, hell yeah.
Totally.
You know, because I'm sitting here thinking, it took me 25 years of addiction to wake up. And was it worth it? Oh, my God. You know, like, was it worth to suffer for 25 years to finally become sober? Yes. Yes, it was worth fighting and struggling for 25 years because my life now is really incredible. Now, was I making a lot of money during my addictions and all that? Yeah. But when you're an addict to sugar, alcohol, sex, TV, money, when you're a real addict, there is no joy. Maharishi called me out and he was right.
Yeah, you were basically lucky that you had somebody to call you out on that, because I think most of us live like ostriches with our heads in the sand, unwilling or unable to see what's right there in front of us that's stopping us from being successful.
Yeah, and you know, and remember what I said when you know his assistant, she actually flew from the headquarters of their university in Iowa. She flew to a speaking event I was giving, you know, and when she told me it, I was like dismissing her as quick as possible. And it was 3 weeks later when I came out of that binge that I said, oh my God, you know, like, I don't know, Jennifer, I don't know if you want to call it a miracle, but there was something on that Tuesday afternoon that woke me up because most of us, when we hear an opposing view, like let's say that you have millions of listeners that are not appreciating my view right now. Let's say, and I mean this sincerely, and it's okay. You know, I don't need to be liked. I just need to be right. That's a great line, isn't it?
I love that. So true.
Oh, it's so true. You know, I'm not here, you know, to win a popularity contest. I'm only here to tell the truth, and I'm also here to say I was wrong. So I'm humble enough to say I was 100% incorrect, but I'm strong enough to stand in my reality. But if there are people listening that don't like my message, there's a damn good chance that I'm right. Unless they have everything they want. If they have everything they want in life and they did it a different way, don't listen to me. Keep doing what you're doing. You don't need me. You don't need my book. You don't need anything. But if you don't have the body you want, if you don't have the love you want, if you don't have the money you want, if you don't have the spiritual connection that you want, if you're struggling with an addiction and you're frustrated with what I'm saying is true. Because when I push back against Maharishi's assistant, I pushed back because I wasn't ready to be humble and to have someone tell David Essel, a leading guru back at that time in the world of personal growth, I wasn't right to have someone tell David Essel he was wrong. And I was wrong.
Yeah, I think that's the greatest gift is to be able to open your mind, your heart, whatever you believe, and even your ears, and just to be able to hear that sometimes you have to hear the hard truth. And I had somebody who I considered a mentor recently basically just cut me off and say, you're no longer welcome to do my programs. You're no longer invited in this, because she and I had a difference on something. And it was amazing. And I was able to open it up. And sometimes we just have to open our mind up to hear something that is true that we weren't ready to hear before, because many times, whatever that person is saying that's true, we couldn't hear it, and it could be stopping our growth from money, success, overcoming different obstacles in our life. And I think that it's just being open to hear that and to look at how could that be true. Not that what David Essel is saying is true or what Jennifer Hill is saying is the truth, but just to be open, what if it could be true, and to be able to glean a bit of truth out of that conversation that you and I are having, or that you might have with somebody else, and be able to apply that to your life and look at how could it be true, and just play with that.
And there are most of the people that I know that have become really successful, it's because they were willing to challenge beliefs. And let me repeat this again. This is really important. If you don't have the money you want, or the body, or the love, or you're struggling with an addiction, if you're not in the career that you love, then you've got to be looking at working in the exact opposite direction than you are right now, because you're smart enough to listen to Jennifer's show, but you still may be stuck in beliefs that aren't serving you. And how do we know if a belief isn't serving you? Well, what I say to people in our book is this: if you're doing something for 365 days, fully committed, and you have not seen a major breakthrough, you're on the wrong path.
I think
most major habits to see a massive change in the subconscious mind, which is where everything is. The gold is in your subconscious. It's not in your intentions. And I want to talk about that. If you're not seeing what it is you desire, go in the exact opposite direction of what you're doing right now. Because if you're not seeing it, it means it ain't working. But a lot of us get so stuck, and we become obstinate and adamant, even if we're not seeing a great amount of progress in a year. And so can I do a differentiation between conscious and subconscious mind?
Yeah, absolutely. So we have about 5 minutes till we wrap up the show. So have at it. It's all yours.
Okay. So, and we describe this in the book. And before I leave, Jennifer, I want to mention, if people want to get our number one best-selling book, you can either get chapter one for free at talkdavid.com, or if you're really ready to change your life, you can get the complete book for free. I will sign it to you. We will mail it to you. It won't cost you a penny. If you join our David Essel's Daily Video Boost. Now, this is a video club that you'll get an inspirational video directly from me every morning in your email. It's $4.95 a month. It's less than Starbucks.
True.
And you will get an inspirational video 5 days a week. And if you join now, we're actually mailing out a copy of our number one best-selling book free. So go to talkdavid.com for that. So the conscious mind is the mind of intent and affirmations. You know, okay. I am a millionaire. I am a size 12 when you're a size 24, whatever it is. You know, like that's the conscious mind is the mind of intent. If the conscious mind is leading you to conscious action into the uncomfortable on a daily basis to achieve your goal, your conscious mind and your subconscious mind are in alignment. And that's what we want. If you say you want to be financially free and you're pulling a Ray Higdon and you're going after 20 rejections a day, your conscious and subconscious mind are in alignment. Does that make sense, Jennifer?
That makes perfect sense.
Okay. But if you say you want to be earning $200,000 a year, or you say you want to lose 100 pounds, or you say you want to live or have the love of your life, or be free of an addiction, and you're not doing the work at least 5 days a week that scares you, that's uncomfortable, that tells us that the subconscious mind is in control. So you can create all the intentions you want and all the affirmations you want and all the vision boards you want. But if your actions daily aren't at the highest level to bring that stuff into your life, then your subconscious mind is running the show, and the subconscious mind only has one role in life.
And survival.
That is to keep you, yeah, it is basically survival. It's to keep you in the pattern you're in. The subconscious mind will justify, rationalize, defend. It will deny your addiction. It will deny your lack of effort. It will come up with reasons why today isn't a good day for the gym. Oh, yeah, that's right. The last 30 days weren't good days for the gym either.
Last 6 months or 6 years.
Right on, Jennifer. You know, and so what we're saying is that if your actions are healthy every day, your conscious and subconscious mind are lined up. If they're not, your subconscious mind has accepted this fact that you really do deserve to have that drink or that extra donut, or you really do deserve to rest on the weekends and not work out. And it's a saboteur. The subconscious mind is either an ally or a saboteur. If you don't have what you want, your subconscious mind has accepted a pattern to sabotage your success. And that's where your action steps daily into the uncomfortable over the course of a quick 365 days will turn your subconscious mind into an ally. And we tell the full story on how to do this in the book.
Oh, this is amazing, David. It's been so much fun to have you on the show and to get a different perspective. And I have to say, having spoken with you about your book and about your journey and your thought process and some of the people you referenced in your book, I think it's given me an opportunity to evaluate the way that I perceive positive thinking, and that perhaps it is not the end all be all, and that there is, like you said, that catch 22 of knowing that you have to do the work and you can't just go around declaring and hoping that it's going to turn out while you sit on the couch not doing anything in line. Because like you said, the subconscious will take over and become your adversary rather than your ally. So thank you so much, David, for joining us today. And I invite our listeners to tune in next week as we interview Signe Whitson about the angry smile, how to deal with passive aggressive personalities in the workplace. So that will be a very fun conversation. And we invite you to join us next Monday at 4 p.m. Otherwise, if you ever miss the show and you want to catch up afterwards, you can always find it on iTunes under Get Yourself the Job on iTunes. And as always, we invite you to rate us, to leave us feedback, or you can find us on the LA Talk Radio website, and the archives of the show are always available directly following the show. Thank you again, David, for joining us, and I hope everybody has a wonderful week.
You're listening to Get Yourself the Job with Jennifer Hill, only on LA Talk Radio.